Now, as we continue with our lessons from Luke, I want today to read to you the closing verses of chapter 18. The 18th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, reading from verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, again we bow our hearts very humbly in thy holy presence. There's never a day dawns but we realize our need of thee. But we thank thee for thy kindness towards us, and for the grace and for the mercy that thou hast shown towards us, for supplying all our needs. We feel, O God, it becometh us to give thee thanks for food and raiment. And we thank thee for each one today who can give thee thanks for health and strength and soundness of body and mind. For our hearts go out in sympathy to those today who are not enjoying good health. O God, in mercy look down upon those who may be in hospital, or those who are lying sick in their own beds at home. And we think of the aged ones today in the rest homes, just spending their closing years. O God, be with them. Bless thy children everywhere. Especially those who are listening to this broadcast now, may thy blessings be upon them for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, in turning your attention to the passage I have read today, it's this record of the blind man who received his sight. It says, And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho. Now remember, at this point, the Lord Jesus Christ is on his last journey to Jerusalem. I pointed this out in a previous study, that when he left the north and made his way to come down towards Jerusalem in the south, he passed through Samaria and Galilee, and it seems now that after coming down through these different villages and towns, he went over to the River Jordan, crossed over and came down on the eastern bank, and then passed over Jordan again, perhaps near the place where the children of Israel passed over when they entered into the Promised Land. Quite near to what would be today called the Allenby Bridge, somewhere around that area. He comes over from the eastern side of the River Jordan, and the first city he came to was the city of Jericho. Remember, he's wending his way towards Jerusalem, where he would be crucified. It came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. That is not an unusual scene in that part of the world. There's a tremendous amount of blindness over in these parts. And it's quite a common thing to see people begging in the streets of the city and by the waysides where people would be passing by. And so it seemed to be a regular thing in the days when the Lord was here, as it is at the present time. Now here is a blind man. And so our attention is brought to the poor condition in which the man was found. He's blind. And he is begging. You know, here was a man who was sitting in darkness. It must be an awful infliction for a person not to have their physical sight. But might I suggest to all my listeners today, there's something worse than that. And that is when a person may have their physical sight and yet be in blindness, in darkness, so far as spiritual things are concerned. Spiritual darkness is worse than physical darkness. Here was a man who was sitting in darkness. He was blind. Now remember, this world today is a dark place. I might suggest that we have political darkness today. We have moral darkness today. We have spiritual darkness today. And when a man or a woman is found in the midst of darkness, there's one thing they need. They need light. They need sight. The Lord Jesus Christ was the light of the world. And a man who is in darkness needs the light of the world. He needs Christ. You know, some folks are in darkness with regards to unseen purposes. They don't understand the workings of God. Some people are in darkness because there is an unknown path. They don't know which way they're going. Some people are in darkness because there is unanswered prayer. They don't understand things. But I also notice there's such a thing as the darkness of religious prejudice. People who are in darkness because they refuse to come to the light. A person may be in darkness because of traditional belief, because of what they were taught, because of how they were raised, and they're not going to change, they're not going to turn away from what they were taught, although they're in darkness. Some people are in the darkness of fear. So here's a man in darkness. It's a pitiful object to see a man sitting by the wayside begging, a man who had no sight, and in these days, when this man was sitting by the wayside near to Jericho, remember this, there was nothing done for these men except a little handout of pity, a little coin dropped in his bag. Today, at least, some little thing may be done for those who are blind, perhaps not as much as should be, but there's a little more done for them today than used to be. These days that we're reading off here in the Bible, a poor blind man had no means of support at all. He had to depend on the sympathy of the passerby. But so far as this man was concerned, while he was a pitiful object, sitting in darkness, remember there's a lot of people like that today. They have their physical sight, but they're still pitiful objects because they don't have their spiritual sight. They've never come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior, sitting around in nature's darkness and struggling on in spiritual darkness. They've never come to the light. They know nothing about God's salvation. But I'm glad to say that in this man's case, there came a great crisis. It was a passing opportunity. For he heard the noise, he heard the tumult, and he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. Now remember, he has heard about Jesus of Nazareth. No doubt he has heard that when he was in Jerusalem some time before this, he gave sight to a blind man. He knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was able to meet the needs of those who were like himself. Here was his opportunity. But remember, it was a passing opportunity. If he allowed this opportunity to pass, it would never come his way again. The Lord Jesus Christ was on his last journey, making his way to Jerusalem to go to the cross. I would like to ask all my listeners today, how often, my friend, have you been spoken to by friends, or by preachers, or by Sunday school teachers? How often has someone pled with you to get things put right between your soul and your God? How often, perhaps, has a mother pled with you, or a father, or a friend? You simply pushed it off and said, there's plenty of time. Like someone that I knew, you'll say, when I'm an old man, I'll think of these things. My friend, you may never be an old man. Or perhaps I'm speaking to someone today who is an old man. And you remember saying that, when I'm an old man, I'll think of these things. And now that you're getting a lot older, I ask you, are you keeping your promise? Are you thinking of these things? Remember, opportunities come, and opportunities go, and they pass by. And God may appeal to you for the last time. You may hear your last gospel message today. Who knows? This may be the last time that God will speak to your heart. It was the last time that the Lord Jesus Christ was passing through Jericho. It was a passing opportunity. In plain words, it was a crisis in this man's life. And you know, in your life, perhaps, you've come to many a crisis. Who knows? This may now be another crisis. That God is appealing to you. The message may be reaching your heart today as you listen to my voice. I'm not your enemy, my friend. I'm trying to be a friend to you. I'm seeking to get you interested in your own eternal welfare as the Lord Jesus Christ wended his way towards this cursed city of Jericho. Nevertheless, he was willing to bring blessings to those who stood in need. And so here was one of the poor of that city. Some people, you know, think they're too poor to become Christians. And some people think they're too rich to become Christians. I want you to understand this, that when the Lord Jesus Christ went to Jericho, he reached out to a poor man and brought him the blessing he stood in need of. In our next lesson, we shall see that he reached out to a very rich man and brought him also the blessing of salvation. But here we're interested in this poor man. He had his passing opportunity. It was a crisis in his life. Perhaps you are at a crisis today. And then, of course, there is his cry. He cries, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. See, the man didn't cry for justice. So many people today are crying out for justice. They want justice. They want their rights. No, my friend, what we need is mercy. We need God's grace and God's mercy. If God was to act in justice towards us, then he would banish us from his presence eternally, for we do not deserve to occupy a square inch of God's heaven. We're sinners, unclean, and not fit for God's holy presence. Justice would banish us from God's holy place. But the idea is this, we need mercy. We saw that in our last lesson, where the poor publican said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Now here's another man who says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He knew that the Lord had shown mercy to others. Now perhaps he would show mercy to him. He stood in need. The Lord Jesus Christ had the power, the ability to meet that need. would he do it? At that point, they which went before rebuked him. There was a great conflict. There was a crowd of people there who were not friendly to this man. They despised him. They looked down their nose at him. He was only a poor, blind beggar. He wasn't even dressed respectably. Perhaps he was sitting there in all his rags and tatters. That was all the man could afford. And so these people said, "Don't you trouble the master. What are you shouting about? You hold your peace." But you know, this man was determined that his day of opportunity had come, and no opposition from the multitude would stop him from getting his cry to the ear of the Lord Jesus. There was a powerful opposition then, this great conflict. But he cried so much the more, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Might I ask you, my friend, whenever you begin to think of eternal things, from what angle do you receive your opposition? Are there some people who oppose you? Do you have supposed friends who speak in a nasty way to you? Those perhaps who are your relatives, who ridicule you whenever you begin to speak or think of eternal things? You know, a great number of people have had to face an awful lot of opposition when they went home and told their relatives and their friends that they had been converted, they had trusted Christ. And whenever a poor sinner is seeking to find the way of salvation, the enemy will see to it that a lot of opposition is put in his way. He was a poor man in all his need. The multitude hadn't done much for him. But now when he's trying to get to the Savior, they're going to stop him. They're going to come between him and the Lord who could help him. Oh, there was opposition. You may have received your opposition, my friend. There may be things coming between you and your God. May I ask you, have you overcome the opposition? This man was so determined. He was going to get to the Savior. And he cried so much the more, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." He had to shout above the crowd. His voice had to be heard beyond the rabble of the noisy crowd that were thronging the Savior. And you may find it difficult, my friend, to get through to the Savior because of the crowd. But may I suggest and press this upon every listener, you need Christ. The crowd has never helped you yet. But Christ will help you, he'll save you, he'll satisfy you. But now, I like to think this. There was a challenge issued to that man, for Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ performing the will of his Father, going about his Father's business, knowing that he must be up in Jerusalem at a certain time? He's going to the cross. But he is a poor man down by the wayside in Jericho, and the Lord Jesus Christ stood still. He stood in his journey, not only to listen to the man, but to deal with the man. My friend, if you were to get a letter from some man in a high position today, you would consider yourself highly honored. But do you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ, he who yet shall be acclaimed as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, wants to have a personal dealing with you? He stood, and he commanded the man to be brought to him. Then he spoke to him, and he said, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" I want you for a moment, my friend, to put yourself in the position of that poor blind man. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus. "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" In plain words, he's saying to the man, "What is it that you would like me to do for you? You've cried for mercy. have mercy on me. Now what is it you want me to do? My friend, I want you to think for a moment or two if the Lord Jesus Christ was saying that to you. Suppose you realize you're in need, that if you were left as you are, you're a sinner, with no assurance of having been accepted by God, no assurance of salvation. And in all your desperate need, you're crying to God and saying, "Oh God, have mercy on me." And if the word of the Lord Jesus was coming to your heart and conscience now, and he's saying, "Well, what is it? What would you like me to do for you?" How would you answer? In plain words, my friend, what is your greatest need? Now watch this poor blind man. He might have asked the Lord Jesus Christ for money, for it's obvious he needed money. He would need money to provide himself with clothes. He would need money to provide himself with food, and perhaps to provide a place to live. In plain words, he would need money to get the necessities of life, and so do you. It may be someone is listening to me today and you don't have the means to buy yourself the things you need for yourself and your family. And if the Lord Jesus Christ was to say to you today, "What would you like me to do for you?" Would you be asking for material things? Do you think that's the greatest need? Because if you got some of these things, they would be here today and gone tomorrow. But you see, the blind man knew that there was something more important than the material thing. His greatest need was to receive his sight. If only he could receive his sight, then he'd be able to acquire these other things for himself. He'd be able to go and work. He'd be able to care for himself if only he could have his sight. So his greatest need was his sight. He didn't ask for some of the minor things. He was willing to ask for the major thing. "Lord, that I may receive my sight." That's what he wanted. "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Let me ask you, my friend, what is your greatest need today? If you're not saved, then your greatest need is salvation. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then that is your greatest need, to get right with God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is both able and willing to meet that need. He is exalted to the right hand of the throne of the Majesty in the heavens, and is able to save to the very uttermost all who are coming unto God by him. And he said to this man, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee." There was a change wrought in the man's life. Immediately he received his sight. I want you to notice this. It's like all the other miracles that the Lord performed. It was immediate. It was perfect. And it was for the glory of God. Because he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Oh, my friend, if you're sitting today in spiritual darkness like this man, this may be your final opportunity. Who knows? If God is speaking to your heart today, I ask you, my friend, will you trust the Savior? Jesus is passing this way. It may be the last day of salvation. Who knows? Will you trust him today?